helping Carl do his job properly. Is there anyone else from any other congregation here besides Noah? Noah, I know. Oh, where are you guys from? City Bowl. Yo, it's even hotter there than it is here. But I know Noah pretty well because I've slept in his bed for the last 8 weeks. Not with him, with my wife. Fortunately, his mom and dad moved out and I could move into their bed, which was a little better than his bed. His was a bit worn out, like a canoe type thing. But anyway, it's wonderful to be in the Lohan house. It's a pleasure. It really is. So let's do what Gideon did. Let's all stand up quickly. Okay, if you got no shoes on or slops, sit down. Sit down, Carl. If you've got no shoes on or slops, sit down. All the ladies with those are slops. Okay. If you got Vans, sit down. If you got Adidas, sit down. If you got Nike, sit down. Hey, my army is growing men. And if you have got Solomon's, you can stay standing, like me. Who's got Solomon's? I'm on my own. Goodness me. I want to say you got good taste. So is Carl and Delia. They actually blessed me with these shoes because I definitely wouldn't be able to buy them. And it's amazing. I was looking for some running shoes and we had a meal with Carl and Delia. And I said, I'm looking for I normally wear Adidas, old men's stuff normally. Because they got wider, they wider in the middle, because as you get older, your foot gets wider. So I enjoy Adidas, and I've got a lot of Adidas. I've got a pair of Nike as well, and those old ones. They look too young for me, so I don't often wear them. But when Carl said to me, "What size are you?" I said, "I'm an 11. He said, "I've got some shoes for you." And he spoke about sewing. But you know what? This family's got a reputation. In winter, I needed sneakers with slippers. And I was given those by Delia for my birthday. How's that? So I'm pretty sure that Carl is going to give me those Havanas when he leaves here.
Next year.
Okay. Did someone bring them back for you? They must have. They're cheap in Brazil. Okay, let's go. Yeah, it's really good to see some of your faces. What's your name, Pierre? But there's another Pierre here too. The Oku rebuked me about using the wrong scripture about the amount of animals that went onto Noah's Ark. But anyway, I've got a memory. And it is my turn. I have the mic today. And drummer boy Brett, all the way from Durbanville when I was there. Yeah, it's amazing. You know what? It's just to see so many people. And this is like a real gathering of Josh Jane people. I think the weakness you may have that you may need to turn around is it's become really comfortable here. And I think it's good that Carl's talking about, even if you can't get people to come here, then you can go there. I like what Mark Davies says, if you want to grow, you need to go. So if you want to grow, you need to go. Okay, I asked Carl what did he preach on last week, and everyone told me he preached too long. So I'm watching the time. Where's that thing? 20 past five. Okay, I'm going to carry on. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. I don't know if Carl touched on this, but I felt the Lord lay this on my heart. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Okay, here's where the challenge comes. Jesus says in Luke 11, 2, when you pray, say. When you pray, say. How many of you don't say what you pray? You pray in your head. How many of you don't say what you pray? I want to encourage you guys. You know what? You can't rebuke the devil in your head. You can't rebuke him in tongues because he doesn't understand. You have to pray to rebuke him. And we're speaking spiritual warfare. So when we pray, guys, I want you to open your mouth and say what God is laying on your heart. He didn't say pray, hope. Quietly, these words remind us that spoken prayer has power. The word says that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. What you say under God, not name it and claim it, but what you say under God, God will use for you and for others. Declare your faith when your feelings are weak, when you're feeling down and you're going through a difficult time. And let me tell you, it's every one of us faces difficult times at some stage or another. Begin to thank the Lord for what he's done in your life and what he continues to do in his life. Speak truth over your circumstances. Not foolishness. Speak truth. I've seen your elders, when they pray, they speak truth into the situation. You can trust these men to pray for you. You can trust them that they've got your best interests at heart. You can trust them. You can trust your deacons. You can trust your leadership team, your comm leaders. When I was a comm leader, I prayed over my comm every week. Because there was about 10 of them. So I prayed over them every week. Then I started, I became a deacon and I was overseeing two comms. So I prayed through them every week. Then I became an elder, an overseeing elder, and now it took about a month to actually pray effectively through those people. I want to ask you leaders, are you doing that? Are you praying through them? People, oh, what's an elder got to do? What does it say in Acts 6? It says, released for prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer. And when you pray, say, Lord, I see Pierre sitting next to Pam, and they are family. It's amazing, eh? Guys, begin to pray over it. Begin to align your heart with God's promises. Has God given you promises? Has God given you promises that you see slipping away from your life? Are you prepared to open your mouth and fight for them? You all know me, so you know I've had a triple bypass and I was in serious depression and I've faced hurdles in my life. But you know what? My wife, firstly, when I couldn't pray, she prayed. I used to roll over in the bed in the morning and I'd say to her, babes, please pray for me. And on her birthday, she said, can't I just not pray for you one day? I was devastated. I was like, oh, I'm not going to make it through the day. I used to say to the Lord, Lord, I can't hold you. You have to hold me. You have to hold me. Have you felt like that? That the Lord needs to hold you. There are times when I had to say, Lord, hold me. I had depression so badly that I couldn't see colors. I saw black and grays and whites. I lost the ability to see color. But you know what? We got through it. The Lord will not let you go. He will not let you go. So open your mouth, because a closed mouth often leads to a closed heart. And we don't want closed hearts. We want open hearts and open hands so that we can do what God's called us to do. And you know what? Many of us find ourselves in bondage. I'm going to take a little bit of a different angle tonight, because sometimes when you talk spiritual warfare, we concentrate on demons. But you know what? There's flesh as well. There's emotions as well. Those things we have to fight. And if we don't fight them in the way that God wants us to fight them, we will not win the battle that we're fighting. And many of us find ourselves fighting the wrong battles. Do you find yourself fighting the wrong battles? I'm going to say now. A lifestyle that models obedience speaks louder than anything I can say. Guys, you can shout and you can scream at the devil, but if you pinch a pencil from work, or the rubber, or the light bulb, or whatever it is that you just put in your pocket, and sometimes you haven't even put it there to pinch it, but you've put it there and you've walked out without thinking about it. We can find ourselves fighting the wrong battles. We need to live a life of obedience. Jesus continually taught about, and remember this, lips and lifestyle. L&L, lips and lifestyle. That's how he taught. He said, what you say is what you live. Jesus came to teach and to do. He came to teach us what to do, but he also came to do it so we could watch him and do what he did. Spiritual warfare all the time. Hebrews 5 and verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. I want to ask you today, are you able to distinguish between good and evil? Are you mature or are you immature? Are you making wrong decisions because you are not distinguishing between good and evil? Hebrews 5 and verse 14 tells us that we have the ability to distinguish between good and evil. Where's that water? Oh, okay. They hide it away so you don't drink it yet. I like sparkling water, by the way. I find it clears my mouth more. So we've got to learn to distinguish the battles that we fight. The first fight, there are four of them. The first fight is God's battle. You don't have to fight it. He'll fight on your behalf. Have you had God do that for you? God has fought on my behalf. When I've thought that everything is impossible, when I lay down on the bed next to Louis Hofmeyr, when he was going to tell me that I was having my triple bypass, and he started crying. He was the cardiologist. I thought, well, that's it. I'm dead. But you know what? God got me through this. When my wife saw me come out of the theater with all the pipes out of my mouth and all sorts of things going on, she didn't know if I was going to make it. Guys, when you have a triple bypass, they put you in this thing and they put you on the hot lung machine and then they pack ice around you to cool your body down and they disconnect you. Your brain is disconnected from your body so they can work on your heart. When they finished, they either use a paddle or a hand or they give you an injection of adrenaline, which is what they did to me. And that sent me into depression because of the cortisol levels that took off in my life. It was a terrible time of my life. And yet, you know what? They had done what they needed to do to save my life. And we need to be like that. We need to be doing whatever it needs for us to help others and to help ourselves. But God fought that battle. I had many funny stories. I haven't got enough time when I was in hospital and nurses and all sorts of stuff. But anyway, so there are four battles. God's battle. Then there's your battle. See, this is the man. This is an elder. This is a good elder. Cole gave me that one. So God's battle, your battle, somebody else's battle, a distraction that is nobody's battle. Are you in one of those? God's battle, your battle when you need to fight, somebody else's battle. Sometimes God doesn't call you to fight on the behalf of others, what's happening in their life. He's dealing with them. I've often heard it said, get out of between me, get out of the way so that God can deal with that person. Don't find yourself in that place. I don't easily do that because like mercy is not my strong gift. Mine's more exhortation and encouragement, the front-footed ones. I'm not saying you have to be front-footed to be mercy-oriented. So we look at Nehemiah. Who knows the story of Nehemiah building the wall around the city? They send him back to go and build the wall. He sits down, he's crying because he says, the stones are burnt. There's nothing left. And so he begins to build this wall. And while he's building this wall, he's got these guys, Sanballat and some other oaks, they're trying to distract him and cause him to come down off the wall. But Nehemiah is hearing God. He says, you know what? These guys are going to try to attack us while we're building. So we have to build with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. We build with a trowel in the church. We build with a trowel. We build with people's lives. We help them. But we defend them and we defend ourselves at the same time. Can't do one or the other. It's like an aeroplane, needs two wings so it doesn't take off. I'm not supposed to be funny, my wife said I don't. So Nehemiah refuses the wrong fight. Guys refuse to fight the wrong fights. We get involved in people's lives and God's not wanting that always. Yes, we're relational and we want to help one another and we want to help each other. But sometimes God is saying, I want that person for myself. I want to work in their life. I've had God work in my life. You know what? There have been times when it's been great. I've got Solomon shoes. And there are times when I've been on the operating theater having a triple bypass. So let's have a look at something here. Refusing the wrong fight. Who knows what Matthew 18 is about? I think this scripture should be preached on over and over and over again. Do you know what it says? It gives a simple process for handling conflict. Most of us don't handle conflict really well. I don't even do it well with my wife sometimes. She's always wrong and I'm always right. Whoa, baby. Most issues, if something happens between me and Jody, it should not go any further than what happens here. I must not even tell my wife, and he mustn't tell his wife, because let me tell you, your wife takes offense on your behalf. Hey? Then you guys work it out, and they're still fighting. It's harder to fix the wife afterwards than the problem between the two of you. You're all laughing because you know what I'm talking about. What, for me, the biggest sin, besides sexual sin, which it says is another level, the biggest sin in the church for me is gossip or criticism. It's gossip or criticism. And you know what? When we enter into sin when we get involved in those. You know what? I want to go even one step further. I used to be on a man's team called Dudley Daniel. And we used to say, if somebody came to you and they gossiped, you tell them to go to the person they're speaking about. You're giving them 3 days, and then they need to have spoken to that person. Well, Dudley just took it to another level. He said, if you listen to the gossip, you have to repent. So even if you allow yourself to listen, when someone starts to talk, you know the movie, you speak into the hand. Whoever it's about, grab me and I will go there with you. Although it should only be between, you see, it can be contagion. It doesn't have to go any further than Jody or I. Most of the battles in the church exist because people fight for offenses that do not belong to them. They hear about this person. Oh, somebody said that Brett was a hobo. And it is the truth, but anyway, we feel sorry for him. Brett's my friend. He knows I can say that to him. But you know what? Everyone gets offended and they start fighting with me because Brett's their best friend, or there are some others that say, yes, I told you this, that. And we've got the whole church split down the middle, some fighting for Brett and some fighting against Brett. Guys, what is needed in a church to receive God's blessing? Unity. Where God commands his blessing is where there is unity. He doesn't just give it, he commands it. I want to live under God's commanded blessing. I'm pretty close, because every time I go to the shopping center, I always get the parking right next to the door. So I'm God's favorite. Can you get that right? And I don't use the pensioners one either. Patty always wants to use that because she's 1 year younger than me. So guys, we don't want to be fighting for other things that we're not even involved in. Somebody says something to you, and the next minute you're fighting on behalf of that person, or you're agreeing with them and you're fighting against that person. Unity is precious because God commands his blessing there, guys. Do you want to live under the blessing of God? I do. I do. I find it difficult not to live under his blessing. I really do. Even if just a little bit there, I'm happy. I'm happy. Thanks, Pierre.
Yo.
Only started at 20 past, eh? Gotta watch the time here. So in Genesis 26, we see Isaac going to dig wells. He digs a well, and the shepherd boys from some other guy, they come along and say, that's our well. But Isaac's father, Abraham, had actually dug that well. So he doesn't fight, he just moves on to the next place. And he digs another well, and they come again. And they say, that's our well. So he just carries on digging wells till eventually he digs a well where there's nobody that's fighting him. And he's able to live in a place of peace. Guys, we don't fight when we don't need to fight. It's not cowardly to back off. It's not cowardly to say, listen, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I'm asking you to forgive me, and I genuinely mean that I made a mistake. And so find yourself in that place on a regular basis. So we see those guys, and is your well, your spiritual depth, your life in the world, your worship, your obedience, are you digging that well? Or are you trying to, in the old days, I heard this, I never read it in the Bible, I just heard it in the history stuff, was that they would clog up the wells so that the Philistines would clog up the wells so that the Israelites couldn't get water. But then they did one even worse than that. They would take dead donkeys and dead horses and throw them down the well so that it was permanently contaminated. And so no one could use that well again. Don't allow that in your life. Stop digging when people oppose you for the wrong reasons. Just allow a fence to fill their well, not yours. You don't want a donkey in your well. Fight battles that are theirs, that are not theirs. Don't stay with the strifers. I like this. Dig your well, discern your battles. How's that? DD. Dig your wells, discern your battles. Pick the right battles. And so, yeah, we got with the other areas. Nehemiah, he's building, and the guy's saying, Nehemiah 6 and verses 2 to 4, you can read it up there. I'm on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Guys, we mustn't come off the wall when God wants us on the wall. Leadership needs to be on that wall, praying over the people that God has given them. We need to be those. We've got to appreciate the people God's given us. So one of the major issues, as I said, in the body is a lack of unity. In Matthew 18 and verse 15 to 17, let's just read this. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you, not your wife, not your brother, not your sister, just between the two of you. That's hard, eh? Because you know what the problem is? You want to get someone on your side so that like you and them are a majority. But you see, people are getting caught up fighting battles that are not theirs. It's not even your battle to fight, and you're getting involved because you're hearing gossip. You're taking offense on behalf of others. And suddenly you find yourself in this fight that God doesn't want you to be in. If you find yourself in this place, I ask you to find a quiet place and go before the Lord and say, Lord, is this your battle? Is this my battle? And we carry on. So just the two of you, hopefully when they respond positively, that's where it stops. That's the best outcome. But if someone else has spoken to, immediately that person picks up the offense. And now this is running down. If someone comes to you and you allow them to speak to you, you are in a place of sin. As I said earlier, while your ears are open to criticism and gossip, you cannot walk in relational integrity. What's your definition of integrity? Mine is, the way you behave at church on a Sunday is the way you behave behind the door at home. Not two different people. One that goes crazy at home, and when you get to church, oh yes, thank you Jesus. On Sunday, you're diving off the stage, and then at work on Monday, you're diving under the carpet. Can you just see, this is not your battle. This is not your battle. And there's a process. If that person won't hear you, then, if you're in conflict, then it says, go and take somebody else. And can I tell you something? It doesn't mean take a leader even. It just says, take a reliable witness with you. The poor leaders, they got to get involved in everything. They got to know all the bad stuff. But when that is not resolved, then I believe you need to take an elder. If it cannot be resolved. And then, when the decision is made, the word is very strong. It says, you warn him once, you warn him twice if he's being divisive, and then you put him out of the church. And the reason that doesn't work like it used to work in the old days is everyone feels sorry for the person that's been put out the church. No, in the old days, they closed ranks, and that person was shunned, like some of the movies you watch, until they came back through the same door that they went out, which is eldership. The elders sit at the gates. And so we find the kingdom of God being compromised. So, let me just go through those battles again. God's battle, your battle, somebody else's battle, gossip, criticism, a distraction. The devil wants you to get you off the wall. God wants you up on the wall praying, and he's hey, come. There's a we got a the Brazilians all jump in the pool when someone gets baptized. I want to see that happen, yeah. We'd have to jump down and lay next to them because they got like a horse trough. So if everyone jumped in, yeah, the water would all jump out. I think you guys need to be trusting God for a swimming pool or something, eh? Especially this time of the year. Pinehurst is getting the jump on you guys. They're putting Leap in there and they're putting a swimming pool in for Leap. So if you're going for Leap, go for Leap. So refuse to fight the wrong fights. Refuse to be distracted by somebody else's battle. And so we want to live under God's blessing, which is God's unity. Guys, we cannot have unity. We will lose the war. We will lose the war if we don't fight these things in the way that they should be fought or not fought. One of the two. Can I do something a little different, Carl? Noah, can you come up here, please? Carl, you want to help him? Yeah, come help him. I saw them sitting close there. Doesn't look like a mystery to me. I asked Noah, could he perhaps just take us into a time of worship where we can open our hearts And if there are things that you've allowed to come into your heart this evening, make it right. Firstly with God, then with the person, if there's another person, make it right. You cannot continue to live in that place. You will not live under God's blessing, and you will live in a war that you cannot win. So I wonder if you could all just stand together. The first thing is, if you're here this evening and you've heard what I've had to say, and you're thinking, what is this guy going on about fighting and battles and stuff? And you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You've never said, I want you, Jesus, in my life. Or maybe you once walked close with God, but you've allowed these offenses and criticism and gossip to come and to break what God wants to do in your life. I want you to stick your hand up. Is there anyone like that tonight? You've got something that you need to do business with. Come on, I just need one person to put up their hand, and then everyone else will. None of you have got a problem with anyone here. Okay, there we go. Someone's courageous. Anyone else? Anyone else? Firstly, is there anyone that's never surrendered their life to Christ? You want to stick your hand up, or you want to recommit to what God has got for you? Is anyone like that? If you've got stuff in your life that you're allowing to... I don't know about you, but I know when I've got this stuff. As an elder, as a leader, we cannot have stuff with people in the congregation. As a saint, you can't have stuff with leaders in the congregation. So I'm urging you tonight, if you find yourself in that place, maybe just come to the front and we'll just pray all at once. Just come up. You don't have to tell us why you're coming up. Just come up this evening. Just come up. That's it. Come up, guys and girls. God wants to set you free. God wants you to live under His blessing. God says, I put before you life and death. You choose. In Deuteronomy. You choose. Are you choosing tonight? Oh, no, my friend next to me. No. Close your eyes. Lord, do you want me here? Maybe you've been fighting a battle that's not even yours to fight. And tonight you want God to set you free from that. Come to the front. We can ask God to come and to bring healing in your life. I wonder if the elders could come and lay hands on these guys. Guys, are you sure there's nobody else? Yeah.
I just really felt that there's somebody here tonight who's really having conflict in their family. And there's a breakup in the family. And I feel like the Lord is saying to you, you need to take a step forward. I really feel that the Lord wants to bring restoration into this family. And He's saying tonight, just step out. Even though you may feel like you're the innocent party, I feel like the Lord is saying, just step out tonight. I want to bring restoration into this family. And I'm not talking about in the church family, I'm talking about in family, if that makes sense. I just really feel the Lord is wanting to pray. I'd like to pray for you.
So the guys are going to pray. We're going to continue to trust for the prophetic. Guys, if you are feeling something specific for somebody in the congregation, even if it's related to what's been preached or whatever you're feeling, I want you to come forward. And then we want to release it. I believe that God's got more to say to us. I want to remind us of How we've been preaching about that Trojan horse. It comes in, it looks like a gift, but when you're not on your guard, the enemy steps out. We know that the enemy doesn't destroy the church from the outside. He comes from the inside. And so I want to encourage you guys that if you have picked up an offense towards leadership, we love you guys. Seek reconciliation.
If you're feeling in a good place, we're not God's men of power for the hour. If you're a member in this congregation and you're feeling, I want to pray for that person, I wonder if you'd come forward and just put your hands on the person, those that are standing up here. God may even give you a word as you put your hands on them. Come, guys. God needs every single one of us. Every single one of us. And so, Lord, as we pray, Lord, let your Holy Spirit come. Holy Spirit, fill us to overflowing. We want to overflow with the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. We want to overflow in those areas of our life, into the communities, into the families, wherever we find ourselves.
I just also felt like a lot of times it might not be somebody in the church, but it's actually somebody within your own home, especially for marriages, especially for married couples, or to maybe towards your children as well. That's the easiest place because they really see you for who they are, for who you are. And I think that can really spill over into the church and other people as well. So, yeah, if there's anybody that feels like you've taken up offense or, yeah, bitterness towards your spouse, then, yeah, I would really want to pray with you as well.
Yeah, I want us to hear that. Sometimes even husband and wife, you're offended with one another. And you're allowing the enemy to come in. And the thing is that you think it's fine, but you don't know when that thing is going to actually explode. Don't let that offense sit in your marriages. Not a day longer. If that is your story, then humble yourselves before the Lord. The Word of God says, submit to God, resist the devil, and then he will flee. Don't give him access. Even in your families, in your marriages, you love one another, but sometimes you carry deep offense. Don't give the enemy an in. Some of you, stuff has happened if you made vows and you're giving the enemy an entry into your life. And tonight, God wants to set you free and bring healing in your marriages. If that's you guys, don't linger. Just be bold, humble yourselves, and come forward as a couple and say, Lord, we're standing before you in honesty and openness, if that's you. So guys, we're going to continue to pray for the guys up front. But I want to say God bless you guys. You guys are welcome.